want to talk about a concept which is important, and that is the tefillah that's only said once a year, and that's the tefillah, the prayer of Ne'ilah. Right, a whole year long, we don't say Ne'ilah. It only happens once a year, and that's on Yom Kippur. As a matter of fact, often in camp and in school, they used to ask us, like, what's a bracha that you only say once a year? And one of those, the answers to that question is the bracha in Shmoneh Esrei of Ne'ilah is only said once a year. So that's the answer to that. But where does Ne'ilah come from, and why do we add another prayer? So it starts in, it's a Mishnah, in Maseches Tainis. The Mishnah says in Maseches Tainis that 3 times a year, the Kohanim would duchen, they would do Birkas Kohanim 4 times a day. By Shachris, by Musaf, by Mincha, and by Ne'ilah. What were those 3 times a day? 3 times a year. So the Gemara says it was done on fast days, on Ma'amados, and on Yom Kippur. We're not going to go into what Ma'amados are, but it seems like on a fast day, they would add an extra prayer, and the same way that they said Birkas Kohanim by Shachris, they say Birkas Kohanim by Mincha, they said Birkas Kohanim by Musaf, they also would say Birkas Kohanim by Ne'ilah. The Gemara asks in the Maseches Yoma, what's Ne'ilah? Says Gemara, my Ne'ilas She'arim. What is Ne'ilas She'arim? The closing of the gates. The Gemara there brings a machlokas. Rav Amar, Rav says, Selusa Yeserta, an additional Shmoneh Esrei, right? The opinion of Rav is that we add another Shmoneh Esrei, right? So like another full-blown tefillah. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel disagrees and says, Me'anu, Mechayenu. It's a declaration that speaks about how insignificant and how absolutely nothing a human being is. If you compare them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you compare them to the greater scheme of things. What's a human being? We're 5 feet or 6 feet in a world that's trillions and trillions of an expanse of miles, that's trillions and trillions. What is a human being? So Shmuel says it's a special prayer which brings a person to humility. Now, the Yerushalmi in Maseches Brachos asks, what's the makor? Where does Ne'ilah come from? That means the Yerushalmi is asking the following question. Why do we daven 3 times a day? So here the Gemara speaks about in Maseches Megillah and Maseches Brachos that the reason we daven 3 times a day is, one opinion is the Avos, each one instituted a different tefillah, Avraham Shachris, Yitzchak Mincha, Yaakov Maariv, or that it corresponds to the Karbanos that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash. It was a Tamid Shel Shachar, a daily offering in the morning, that's Shachris. There was a Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim, there was an evening offering, after late afternoon, that's Mincha. And Maariv corresponds to when they would take all the different parts of and of the animals that hadn't yet been put on the Mizbeach, and they put them on the definitely did that at night. So that's the source of davening 3 times a day. Where does Ne'ilah come from? How come we have a fourth tefillah? Where does it say that? So the Gemara there brings the opinion of Levi, and Levi says, the pasuk says, Gam ki tarbu tefillah. It brings a pasuk that says, even when you increase your tefillah, I think it's actually the pasuk in Eicha, if I'm not mistaken, is that we say, Sasam tefillasi, Hashem doesn't want to answer us, but we see that there is a time in the year that we need to be marbe our tefillah. Mikan says Rabbi Levi, listen to this powerful statement, Shekol ha-marbe b'tefillah, anyone who increases his tefillah, which means ne'ilah, according to them, nen, his answer. Comes out according to Rabbi Levi, a very inspirational thing, even if for some reason Hashem doesn't want to accept a person's prayers by Kol Nidrei and Maariv and Shachris and Musaf and Mincha, but it's possible that in riboy tefillah, the additional tefillah that we add on Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could accept the person's tefillah. Then the Yerushalmi asks, and the Yerushalmi says, Eimas hu ne'ilah. When do we daven ne'ilah? So Rav Amar, Rav said, V'ne'ilas share shamayim. When the gates of heaven close. The commentary is that the Bnei Moshe there explains that means shkia, sunset. So we start praying at sunset. That's when we daven. But Yochanan says, Ne'ilas Sharei Heichal, when they would close the gates of the Heichal of the sanctuary, that's still daytime, before it becomes dark. So there's a machlokas when you're supposed to say Ne'ilah. Should you say Ne'ilah before Shkia, finish it before Shkia, sunset, or could you start it after sunset? Okay. The Gemara says in Maseches Yuma, Amar Rav, Rav says, Tfilas Ne'ilah Poteres Es Shel Aretz. I know a lot of people would love this Gemara. He says, if you daven, and Rav says, if you daven Ne'ilah, that counts for Maariv. You don't have to daven Maariv. It kind of goes straight from Ne'ilah, shofar blowing, into the cheese dish. Dive into the cheese dish. Gemara says, Rav Letamim, this is Rav's opinion, because Rav says, Salusa Yeseratahi. Remember, we had a machokas Rav and Shmuel, what Ne'ilah is. Shmuel says it's just speaking about Tfilos prayers of inadequacy. But Rav says it's another Shmon Esrei. He says, Gemara, if you're saying another Shmon Esrei, hey, maybe that could work for Marav. And says the Gemara, came in the Tzoli, Sulei Sarech. Since you already davened, who says you need to daven a second Tfilah? It's the same Rav that we had before, that you have to daven after sunset. And Rav says that it's a Tfilah, it's a prayer. Therefore, it says that could be it works for Marav. Now, we don't rule this way, but it's interesting to note that that's the Tfilah of Rav. How do we paskin? How do we rule? What are you supposed to say? So the Rush, Maseches Yuma, brings the opinion, the famous opinion of the Maharam Meir Rutenberg. Maharam Meir Rutenberg rules that a person has to daven Ne'ilah during the day. It has to be said before Shkia, before sunset. That's the way he rules. Not like Rav. And that's also brought down in the Mordechai, which is a commentary in the back of the Gemara Maseches Megillah. That's what Mordechai is in Megillah. And he says like this, he says something really cool. He says, so if you're supposed to do Ne'ilah before sunset, how come no one does it? So he says, Mashanagu l'spala osa b'layla, the fact that people daven Ne'ilah by night, b'aday lo hinhigu avoseinu. It was never instituted by our fathers. Elot meshachazanim mamshichim ad alayla. The chazanim, they daven too slow, and they draw it out, and therefore Ne'ilah ends up being done at night. However, people think, says the Mordechai, that because of that, that that's the din. But it's not true, says the Mordechai. You're really supposed to finish Ne'ilah before sunset. That's the opinion of both the Rush and the Mordechai. The Rif, however, Rabbeinu Alfasi, he paskins like Rav. Daven Ne'ilah after sunset. And he also paskins that Ne'ilah can work instead of Ma'ariv. So bottom line is we have a Machlokas or Rishonim of early commentaries, is Halachic Decisors, is Ne'ilah supposed to be done before sunset, or can even Ne'ilah even start by Shkia by sunset? How do we paskin? How do we rule? So the Shulchan Aruch says that the time for Ne'ilah is kishehachama b'rosh ha'ilanos, as the sun is on top of the tree. Now, when's that? What time is that? So the Mishnah Berura says that it's a little bit before Shkia. So according to the Mechaber, a person should start davening Ne'ilah a little bit before sunset. And he says that the Mishnah Berura, learns it is that a person should finish it besov shkia, which means to say near nighttime. So it would seem the appropriate way to do Ne'ilah, according to this Mishnah Berura and the Shulchan Aruch, is that a person should start it before sunset, and it should extend itself, but not draw past, say, Sako Chavim, nightfall. I mean, you know, there's different opinions of how long nightfall is, right? I think the Young Israel Davens Amarav on Matzah Shabbos 45 minutes after sunset. Some people hold 60, some hold 72, Hasidim hold 90 minutes after sunset. But regardless of what, it seems like you should start before Shkia, and it should go till around nightfall, which is what most shuls do. They try to finish Ne'ilah, and then Daven Marav when the fast is over. However, the Mishnah Berurah himself brings another opinion, the Yeshomim, that it's okay to extend even into the night. And he says, really, we should paskin, we should rule like the first opinion. And you should really be finished by nightfall. You shouldn't go fast, say Sekol Chan. However, if a person does do like the second opinion, don't make an issue. Let them go. So for example, I don't understand this, but I know my son told me when he was in Yeshiva, they finished, you know, Maariv and Ne'ilah half hour, 45 minutes after the fast was over. It's harsh, you know, the kids want to eat. But I guess, you know, the Yeshiva davens a little bit longer, and sometimes it gets drawn. So it seems like halach, the optimal way is to start before Shkia and make sure that you finish by Tzisa Kochav, that you finish by night. Now, the Rambam, when the Rambam brings down the halachas of Ne'ilah, the Rambam brings in Hilchos Tzvila and the laws of prayer, interesting, not in the laws of Yom Kippur. And the Rambam says that they instituted a Tfila after Mincha on a fast. Eh? Why, says the Rambam? Lehosif tchina ubakasha, to add supplications and requests. Behu nikra ne'ilah, and it's called ne'ilah. Why? The lomar nina ruchale shari shamayim. The gates of heaven have closed be'ad hashemesh, in front of the sun v'nistara, and the sun is hidden. So he learns, interestingly enough, that the ne'ilah here means that the sun is disappearing. And that's why he says it's called the sun. So first of all, we're going to see the Rama Paskins that Ne'ilah is an additional Techila Ubarkasha. Kind of like we saw from the Pasuk of Gam Ki Etzak Vashaveya, even as I call out. So it's an additional prayer that we have. In addition, it seems like he says that we say it when the sun is disappearing, which is somewhat congruous with the opinion of the Mishnah. Now, here's a very interesting thing. I had a Rebbe, his name was Rebbe Yitzchak Saratsky, and he's still alive. And he wrote a series of svarim called Gevuras Yitzchak, which were very accepted in the Jewish world. They're mitzvah on many, many, many different topics. So in the Sefer Gevuras Yitzchak, he writes something very interesting. He says that, why do we say the words Hashem Svasai Tiftach Ofi Agit Tehilasecha? Why before Shmona Esrei, every time that we say Shmona Esrei, do we start with the sentence, Hashem, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praises? What is that exactly? So he brings down the poskim that say that basically what it is like this. Hashem, really, we should be bringing a sacrifice for you. A karban tamid, a daily offering. That's the morning. A karban tamid shabbat arbaim, an evening offering. That's mincha. But Hashem, we don't have a base of mikvah. So Hashem, take my words and reckon them as if I davened, as if I brought a karban, as if I brought a sacrifice. So he says, if that's the truth, if that's the case, and you shouldn't say Hashem Svasai Tiftach by Ne'ilah. Ne'ilah is not in the place of a karban. Shachris. Musa, in the place of a karban musa. The additional sacrifice is brought in Yat Tifajat. Chodesh. It's in the place of the karban tamid. Even Mariv at least takes, you know, corresponds to the different organs and parts of the animal that still have to be offered. So then it makes sense that you say Hashem Svasai Tiftach. But Ne'ilah, the Rambam says it's just an additional supplication, it's an additional request. You shouldn't say Hashem Svasai Tiftach by Ne'ilah. Now we do, but he questions and he wonders why it is that we say Hashem Svasai Tiftach. Now there's a very famous chiddush about Ne'ilah from Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, not the Rav from Yeshiva University, the other Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik. In Israel he's called Rav Beryl. He was the son of the Bris Berov, Yosef Soloveitchik. He writes and he says like this, that Ne'ilah, according to the Rambam, is called Riboy Tchila. It's Hosafa. It's an addition. So he's Mechadish, a very novel concept. And he says like this. If a person just shows up to the shul for Ne'ilah, they shouldn't have a Ne'ilah. Because the whole point of Ne'ilah is, it's an additional prayer and supplication to the regular prayers of Shacharis, Mincha, and Musaf, whatever it is. If you do those, then you have a right to say Ne'ilah. You're adding on to your regular daily Tfilah. But if a person didn't daven, Shachris, Mincha, Amar, whatever the Shachris, Mincha, Musaf, whatever the reason is, but they didn't daven, says Rabbi Yosef Dov, then Ne'ilah doesn't apply, because Ne'ilah first has to have the regular tefillah to have an additional tefillah. You have the regular tefillah, you can't do the additional tefillah. This is what he wants to write. The discussion, if you miss one tefillah, if you could still do Ne'ilah, but it seems from him that you have to do all your tefillahs the whole day. Now you have a right to do the bonus round, which is to add tefillah of Ne'ilah. So it seems from this that people who show up just for Ne'ilah, it's a question if they could say Ne'ilah. This is not asking Mahalacha, but it's just it's like we say in Yiddish, it's Vavarning. It's opening up a question. As a matter of fact, in the Sefer Ratz Katzvi from Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, he writes and he says like this. He says women in his days, it was customs in Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was a Rav in Yerushalayim, that men, often the women wouldn't come a whole day, but by Ne'ilah, the Ezras Nashim was flooded. He questions where the custom comes from. If you didn't have a Shacharis, you didn't have a Musaf, and you didn't have a Mincha, so should you be davening the Ne'ilah? Isn't it a Riboy Tefillah? But at the end he says a fascinating thing. He says, no, there's a difference between men and women. If you have an obligation to daven, then you have to daven Shacharis, Musaf, and Mincha. If you daven Shacharis, Musaf, and Mincha, then you have a right to do the additional tefillah. Women, he says, are not obligated in Shacharis and Mincha. So if they daven Shacharis and Mincha, that itself is a tefillah. That itself is a bakasha. That itself is a request. So they could say Ne'ilah, no problem. That's also a bakasha. It means if you're supposed to daven the regular tefillah, then for you, Ne'ilah is an addition. But if you're not obligated, and you just, they get schar for doing it, they should. But since they're not obligated, their whole concept of tefillah anyways is tefillah. So for them, Ne'ilah is just another chance to daven, another chance to supplicate, another time chance to request to beg. Therefore, he says, halacha is that they could daven Ne'ilah even if they didn't daven any of the tefillahs of the day yet. Interesting halacha. Tosfos, in Maseches Tainus over there, says that The custom was, has become in the Jewish community, that we, even though the Gemara says that we do Birkas Kohanim four times a day on a Tainus, but on Yom Kippur we only do Birkas Kohanim in Eretz Yisrael, at least, Chutzlars we don't do Birkas Kohanim, but in Eretz Yisrael, Shachris, Musaf, and Ne'ilah. They don't do it by Minhag. That's what the Tosfos there writes. For those of you that have had an opportunity to spend Yom Kippur in Israel, they do Birkas Kohanim by Shachris, they do it by Musaf, and they also do it by Ne'ilah. Now, this opens up a very big question. The Darche Moshe, the Rama, who wrote a sefer called Darche Moshe, he brings the opinion of the Maharil. The Maharil is the source and the base of all Minhag Ashkenaz. Maharil's opinions are held in the highest of highest esteem. Maharil says like this. He says that even if, let's say, Ne'ilah gets drawn out, they ran late, they weren't on schedule, and it's Laila, it's already night, no Seis Kappa. Writes the Maharil, you can do duchening at night. Ordinarily, we don't duchen at night. But if Ne'ilah gets delayed, the Ramah writes in the name of the Maharil that you can say Birkas Kohanim even though it's by night. And he says, because it, even though it's not the Zman of regular Tefillah, but the same way Mariv corresponds to the limbs and parts of the animals that weren't brought, still have to be brought in as Be'ach at night. So you're saying Ne'ilah, Avoda was done, service in the Beis HaMikdash was done at night as well. So therefore, Birkas Kohanim can be done as night as well. However, he says, in Chutzlaretz, we don't do Birkas Kohanim at all by Ne'ilah, so this is a non-issue. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's a very big issue. So that's his opinion, you could do it by night. I remember when I davened in yeshiva and when I lived in Israel, every single shul and yeshiva that I went to was meticulous to have Birkas Kohanim before Shkia, before Sunday. We'll see in a minute what you do, but that's, I remember that was the conduct of how we did. The Mishnah Brewer says that this, that according to the Mechaber, right, according to the Mechaber was Svardi, to him you do Birkas Kohanim in Chutz La'aretz also. You do Birkas Kohanim, Svardi shuls do Birkas Kohanim every day in Chutz La'aretz. Matter of fact, when Rav Aaron Leib Shteyman, the great Torah scholar from Israel, came to America for a week, he davened every day in a Sephardi shul. He goes, I don't want to miss the opportunity to have Birkas Kohanim every single day. So he made sure to daven in a Sephardi shul. Even though he was from the Gedolei Ashkenaz, one of the Ashkenazi greats. So the Shavura says like this. According in Eretz Yisrael, where we do Birkas Kohanim, he says that even though this is the opinion of the Darkei Moshe, a person should make sure that the shul, like we do, they should make sure not to do Birkas Kohanim by night. He says, because the Nesias Kapayim, doing Birkas Kohanim, is like Avoda. And Avoda has to be done during the day. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah paskins, even though the Darkei Moshe, the Ramah, writes that you can do Birkas Kohanim by night, the Mishnah Berurah feels that you should not do it by night. You should make sure you do your Birkas Kohanim before sunset. And the Machzor HaMefurish, which is a well-known Machzor, many people use, has a beautiful commentary on it. They bring both from Rabbi Eliashiv, Erev Shlom Zalman Orbach, that the latest you could do Birkas Kohanim and still be okay is 13 and a half minutes after sunset. After that, you can't do it anymore. It's considered Laila, it's considered Vaday. However, both of them write that it's better not to do Birkas Kohanim after sunset at all, because then you're getting yourself into Machlokas. There are opinions that hold you can't do Birkas Kohanim after sunset. Therefore, he says a person should be careful, they should plan accordingly, that they could do Ne'ilah, Birkas Kohanim Ne'ilah before Shkia or sunset. Mishnah Berurah himself brings down that if, let's say, you see you're running late and you're not going to be, if you say everything in Ne'ilah, you're not going to be able to get Birkas Kohanim by sunset. The Mishnah Berurah says, so skip all the piyutim, skip the additional, you know, slichos that we have in Ne'ilah, do Birkas Kohanim, let the chazan finish the repetition, and then you'll do the supplications. Not a problem. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. Interestingly enough, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, so they would do Birkas Kohanim like Rav Shlomo Zalman Rebbe Yashiv. They wouldn't do it much after sunset, but they have a tremendous amount of time after Birkas Kohanim. So they would do Avinu Malkeinu responsibly, stitch by stitch, each Avinu Malkeinu. They did it very slowly. It took them 20 minutes to get through Avinu Malkeinu. And then they just had to do the things at the end, and by the time they were done, it was already time to daven Maariv. Now, there's this big shadow in the poskim. If a person is not fasting on Yom Kippur, the doctor told them that they're allowed to eat, and they're a Kohen, are they allowed to do Birkas Kohanim? That's the question. In the Sefer Ratzat Tzvi, again for a Tzvi Pesach break, he says that this really depends on if duchening during the Ilah is what mandates, what's the cause for duchening during the ilah? Does it come from the fast? In other words, is it been in the tainus? Is it a law in the fast that a person has to do nesias kapayim that we duchen by ni'ima? Or is it part of the kedushas hayom, part of the holiness of the day that mandates a person to do nesias kapayim, to do birkas kohanim? If you say that the fast mandates it, then the fellow has no right to do birkas kohanim because the whole birkas kohanim only comes because of the fast, and he's not fasting. But if you say it's the kedushas hayom, it's the holiness of the day, the holiness of Yom Kippur passes, applies to everybody whether they fast or they don't fast. If a person machmas has to eat on Yom Kippur, for whatever the reason is, they make kiddush, they say Yal V'Yavo, the kedusha sayom is not dependent on the time. So if you say that Birkas Kohanim is dependent on the holiness of the day of Yom Kippur, then it could be a person will be able to do it even if they're not fasting. There's another shayla, a very, very interesting shayla. Let's say a person didn't say anything. He wasn't feeling good, he went to lie down, he missed the home. Now he goes over to the Rav by Ma'arev. What's the halacha usually when you miss a tefillah? You have to daven Tushman Esrays in the next tefillah. So does this guy have to daven Tushman Esrays by Ma'arev? Again, he misses Ne'ilah, he sleeps through the whole Ne'ilah. And now comes time for Ma'arev. He goes up to Rabbi, Rabbi, I missed Ne'ilah, what should I do? So it's halacha that he should say over Tushman Esrays by Ma'arev, which is what we usually do, or not. So actually, this is a big machlokas posik. The Maharam Mipano, an early Italian posik, says that just like if a person misses Musaf, on any day that we have Musaf, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Yom Kippur, or Yom Kippur, they miss it for some reason, they don't make it up, they don't do two Shmona Esrays by Mincha, and the Halacha says because Avar Zmano, Batal Korbano, once you miss the time for Musaf, it's like a sacrifice, you can never make it. And by the way, we find this also, that if let's say a person misses Shachris of Yom Kippur, or any time that Shachris, he doesn't daven two Musaf Shmona Esrays. Musaf has its own classification. So therefore, it says the Maharam Mipano, the same way that by Musaf, you don't repeat two Shmona Esrays by Mincha if you miss Musaf, so too he says by Ne'ilah. Ne'ilah is no different than Musaf. And if a person misses Shmona Esrays by Musaf, by Ne'ilah, they don't have to daven two Shmona Esrays by Ma'arev. That's the opinion of the Maharam Mipano. However, the Pri Megadim argues, and the Pri Megadim says, no, if for some reason a person doesn't get Ne'ilah, they have to daven two Shmona Esrays by Ma'arev. And the Har Tzvi, again, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank explains that the Machlokas is dependent on the whole idea, the concept of davening Tfilas Ne'ilah. The Maharam Mipano learns that Ne'ilah is different than what we said in Tanakh. Ne'ilah is a special tefillah that was instituted for Kapara, for atonement, for Vidui, for confession. So if so, says the Maharam Mipano, it's pointless for a person to daven Ne'ilah or even to try to do a makeup for Ne'ilah after Yom Kippur is over. This whole essence of prayer, of kapara, of atonement, of slicha mechila, of forgiveness of Yom Kippur isn't there anymore. So it doesn't make sense for a person to daven Tuchmon Esrays by Ma'arev. However, the Pri Megadim learned that it's a tosefet, it's an additional tefillah that was instituted. And the same way that the halacha is that if you miss Shachris, even though Shachris isn't here anymore, but you daven two minchas because it's an additional opportunity to daven to Hashem and ask Him for what you need. So if you miss Ne'ilah, you missed an opportunity to talk to Hashem. Do two Ma'arevs, and again, you'll have the opportunity to ask a Kaddish Baruch Hu for what you need. That's how the Har Tzvi explains this disagreement. There's another explanation in this disagreement that's brought down in some of the poskim, which is very interesting, like this. Remember we said early on, the Rambam and others, and we said this Chiddush from Rav Peres Soloveitchik, that the Ne'ilah is an added tefillah to those that pray. If you daven the prayer until that point, you have a right, you've earned yourself a right to have an extra tefillah. Now, what do you have to daven in order to be able to daven Ne'ilah? You have to do Shachris, Musaf, and Mincha, and now you get your Ne'ilah golden ticket? Or as long as you did Shachris and Mincha, and not Musaf, you have to do Musaf to earn the golden ticket. If you say you have to do Shachris, Musaf, and Mincha, well then, it can't be, the Ne'ilah can't be, the added Ne'ilah prayer can't be better than the prayer itself. If you miss a Musaf, you don't have to daven two Shmona Esrays by Mincha. So if you're going to miss Ne'ilah, which is just an addition to Musaf, then it doesn't make sense to have to daven two Shmona Esrays by Ma'arev. But if you say it's an added addition just to Shachris and Mincha, it's another Shmona Esray like we saw, well then could be the halacha is that the same way that if you miss Shachris and Mincha, you have to repeat two Shmona Esrays at the next tefillah. So if you miss Ne'ilah, maybe you'll have to say two Shmoneh Esreis at Maariv. It would come out according to this something absolutely fascinating. But if, let's say, a person shlofs, he's not feeling good on Yom Kippur, he goes to sleep and he misses Mincha and he misses Ne'ilah, and now he wakes up for Maariv, he'll have to have three Shmoneh Esreis. Maariv Shmoneh Esrei. Then the Tashlumin making up for Mincha. Then the Tashlumin making up for Ne'ilah. This is a great riddle. I wonder how many people could get this. Where does a person have an obligation to daven three Shmoneh Esreis in a row? And he made no mistakes in any of the Shmoneh Esreis. Because you could say, a guy forgets the Avi Yavo, he has to daven over, and if he forgets the Avi Yavo again, he has to daven Shmoneh Esreis. But this is a great question. Ask this to your friends and your peeps and see how many people know this. Where is a case in Halacha where you need to daven three Shmoneh Esreis one after another? The answer is, if you don't daven Mincha and Ne'ilah, according to the opinion of the Prima Gavim, you're going to have to say three Shmoneh Esreis by Mar. You ain't going to have your cheese Danish till 90 minutes after Shkiyah. Correct? By the way, everyone asked the question, how come you say in the Shmoneh Esrei of Maariv, after Yom Kippur, why do you say, Slach lanu avinu ki chatanu, forgive us God, mechalu malkeinu ki pashanu, you just got slichan Yom Kippur. The answer is that it's a kapara for the fact that you ripped through Maariv without kavan, because you're so hungry. All you thought about was the cheese bandages at the end. So you need slach lanu avinu ki chatanu. For yourself, you need forgiveness. Some people say also it's because at the end of Ne'ilah, when the Chazan schlept a little bit, you turn to the guy next to you like, oh, he schlept that Ne'ilah out. Lashon Hara, Slach Lanu Avinu Ki Chatanu, Lachal Makim Ki Chatanu. We somehow managed to come up with
something. So this year we can't skip it because we're not going to do it. We're not going to have cheesecake.
Oh, there's no. What do you mean? They're not having breakfast?
I don't think so.
They should have pre-packaged.
Thousands of people, they get out there, they're like jumping on each other. They can't do that right.
They should have, when you leave the building outside, they should have a big box with a Ne'ilah pack. Have a cheese Danish and an orange juice. It should have one of those Via coffee things, Starbucks coffee things.
Yeah.
If it should have a little scotch, if that's the kind of guy you are. You tell them the kind of fleishiks, if you want to break your time to some fleishiks. I'll say something very interesting. I don't know how many people are aware of this. It is brought down in Halacha that you should eat a Sa'uda on after Yom Kippur. So you break your fast, whenever you break it on, and then later in the evening, you're supposed to eat fleishiks. It's a yantif. We know that when the Kohen Gadol would leave the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, unscathed and unharmed, and there was kapara, there was atonement, they would make a tremendous yantif. Matzah Yom Kippur was more festive than Purim. Right? We say it in the Pivota, Mari Kohen, that there was amazing stuff that took place when the Kohen Gadol. So in my family, we sit down at 10 o'clock at night and we eat a flesh of Yasuba. Usually it's leftovers from Erev Yom Kippur, but nobody has real strength to eat like every single part of it, but you eat some challah, you have some soup, you eat something else, and it's a suda. I did it when I was a kid, my wife ate it at home. So we continue it in our family. Mm. It's not a bad thing. And then what do you do after you finish your suda? Put up your sukkah.
You don't sleep.
No, you put up your sukkah. That's in Halacha that after Yom Kippur you should start off by doing a mitzvah. Oh, actually, before that, you have to clean off the table at the mitzvah, and then you go and you put up your sukkah. Why not? And then you daven vasikin. Okay. Anyways, I want to add one more thing. There's an amazing Meshech Chachma, which is a tremendous chiddush and not so well known. The Meshech Chachma writes that the Gemara teaches us that there are certain sins that even Yom Kippur is not mechapit, doesn't atone. And one of those is called Chilul Hashem. If by conducting ourselves in a certain way, in front of Jews, doesn't have to be in front of Goyim, even though as kids, Chilul Hashem was always in front of Goyim, but non-Jews, but a person conducts themselves in a way that's not becoming to a Jewish person, and other people see them and are like, ah, that's how religious Jews act. That's a Chilul Hashem. Says the Gemara, even Yom Kippur is not mechaper for Chilul Hashem. However, the Meshech Chachma says a powerful thing. Yom Kippur itself is not mechaper for Chilul Hashem, but Ne'ilah is mechaper. And he proves it. It's a whole long piece which we're not going to go into. Very powerful thing. There are certain things we can't get atonement for, such as Chilul Hashem. Yet Ne'ilah, for some reason, has an incredible power in the koach of Ne'ilah, in the ability of Ne'ilah, that a person, even if it's something which Yom Kippur is not mechaper for, but Ne'ilah, somehow a person could get kapara from. Fascinating is, look at the words of the Mishnah Berurah, And with this we'll conclude when he speaks about me. He writes like this. He says, Yizdareis me'od b'tfilas. A person should strengthen themselves. They should reach to deep within the reservoirs of strength that they hopefully still have. Itach, let's call Aseres Yimei Tshuva Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is the purpose of all Aseres Yimei Tshuva. B'tachlis Yom Kippur Hu Tfilas Ne'ilah. And the purpose of Yom Kippur is all build up for Ne'ilah. Shehakol Holech Achar Achitum. Everything goes after the final inscription. Imo Achsha, writes the Mishnah Berurah. And if not now, you can't get your strength. Emasa. When are you going to get your strength? When are you going to turn to Hashem? Lachem, writes the Mishnah Berurah. Therefore, Afim Chalashu Machmasat Taimus. Even if a person is weak. Amakom Ya'azor Kegibor Chalatzav. Once you gird their loins like a warrior, lehispalel to daven machshavah zaka with a clear thought, ubrura with lucidity, ulekabel al atzmo gidri atuva beemes, and to really accept upon themselves true tshuva. Abba Latar says the Mishnah Berurah: if you try, you put in the effort, b'sayin also, Hashem helps you, v'chasein b'sefer chayim tovim, and you are sealed in the book of chayim tovim. I remember when I was in Eretz Yisrael. I davened my first year for the Amid. I was a little whippersnapper, 20-some years old, early 20s. And I mamish didn't have koyach. And I remember going up to daven for the Amid, and I said, Hashem, I don't have koyach to stand, let alone to be the chazan. You got to help me here. And I just put it all out on the field. It's like, you know, it's like the last 2 minutes of the game. And all of a sudden, for some reason, I found inner reservoirs of strength that I mamish didn't know I had. And I was able to do, a very decent job for my first time doing the Iyun. That's how it is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You take a few steps to Hashem, you put in some effort, and Hashem says, I want your Iyun. I want to accept it. So, Mitzvah Shem, have a great Yom Kippur. You should have an amazing uplifting at Ne'ilah, and the Rabbeinu Shalom should be chosein. He should seal each and every one of us for chayim tovim, for a good life, for shalom, for peace, for gezunt, for health, for everything that our hearts really want and our hearts really need. Have a good kibbutz. You are the Gemara Chasim of Tanya. Have a good night. Have a good night. Pleasure. Good to see you.
Okay.